in not too long, in video form. Psalm 32, in the next in our series of good news. And so far, we've asked the question, what is the good news? And answered it, I hope. We've seen emptiness filled, loneliness met, and today is guilt cleansed. Psalm 32, I'll read it now. It's the Psalm of David. It's a maskil. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach you. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Carl Menninger is a famed psychiatrist. Anybody ever heard of him? That's how famous he is, okay? That's what it says in his book, famed psychiatrist. He said this, if we could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that guilt can be cleansed, 75% could walk out the next day. If you look in your dictionaries or wherever you look for definitions nowadays, you'll see guilt defined in a couple of ways. There's the fact of guilt, isn't it? As we saw with Mike before, despite all the emotion of what he was doing, the fact was he was guilty and deserved 6 points on his license, and he got them. So guilty, you know, it can be that fact, can't you? You break a law, you are guilty. But actually, if you look in the dictionaries, guilt is also defined as an emotion that occurs when a person feels that they violated a moral standard. That's Wiki Dictionary, whatever it's called. An emotion that occurs when a person feels they have violated a moral standard. And at this level, guilt can seriously mess with your head. Edgar Allan Poe wrote a story called The Telltale Heart. The main character in the story murdered someone and buried the body in the cellar of his house, as you do. Perfectly logical thing to do, isn't it, really? But as the story unfolds then, and the guilt begins to work on him, he begins to hear the heartbeat of the body in the cell, in his cellar. That body in the cellar, yeah. And of course, as the story goes on, and the sweat begins to build, and the agony, and the intensity, and all that, actually it becomes clear that it's his own heart that's beating. His guilt is going on in his own heart. Guilt works at different levels. Guilt, we feel guilty about the things that we have done wrong. We feel guilty about the things we think we have done wrong. And that might always be the case, of course. There's a false guilt sometimes. There's a guilt trap sometimes, but it's just as powerful. And we feel guilty sometimes because of the wrong things that people have done to us. And that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Why should what other people have done make us feel guilty? But it's a fact. People who have been abused as children, people who've been cheated on, perhaps in their marriage, incredibly feel a sense of guilt. Perhaps it was their fault in some way. And so that guilt can be an all-consuming thing. And there's a great great image, isn't there? Or a horrible image of what guilt can be like. Guilt can be all-consuming. Guilt can destroy our confidence because we'll be feeling insecure, always worried maybe that someone will find out and expose us for what we are, or what we've done, or what's been done to us. Guilt can destroy our relationships. We wouldn't be honest with ourselves. And if we're not honest with ourselves, then we're not honest with others. Guilt can keep us stuck in the past. A sense of guilt means we're continually replaying our sin, our guilt, the cause of our guilt, over and over and over. It holds us back. It keeps us in the past. Someone has said that guilt cannot change the past like worry can't change the future. But both can make us miserable today. You ever seen the film The Mission? I'm not sure. Robert De Niro is in that. He's a mercenary who in a blind fit of rage kills his brother and immediately is filled with this great sense of remorse. So people are after him, takes refuge in a church. Cuts a long story short, he trails off to South Africa and goes on this sort of mission and carries a basket of rocks on his back, seeking to do penance. There's this real sense of guilt going on in his life. It's a burden for many people today. Now, ironically, while many of us labour under the burden of this kind of guilt, too few of us actually take our real guilt before God seriously. The Bible says, we've heard this already today, we're all sinners. We're guilty of being an affront to God's holiness. And we deserve his judgment. You know, that's a big thing. And yet, so many of us take that lightly, really. We're actually the guilt, perhaps, of things that we've done in our own sort of hearts can weigh quite heavily. So what do we do? Where do we go? Well, fortunately, there's an answer, and that's forgiveness, and that's where Psalm 32 comes in. And there's the result of forgiveness. It's a psalm of David. He's a man who knew sin, of course. Committed adultery, procured someone to murder, the husband of the wife who committed adultery with, etc., etc. You know the story of David, I trust. It says here it's a maskil. Nobody's quite sure what this means, but it's always there in Psalms that preach the truth of what God is able to do for us. So here is truth in this psalm. And David begins with the good news. The good news that sin can be forgiven and guilt can be cleansed. So look, if you hear nothing else today from either me or Billy Graham, hear this. Sin can be forgiven and guilt can be cleansed. So he talks, David here, about the blessing of forgiveness in verses 1 and 2. Two short verses, but they're pretty all-encompassing. He uses three words for our sins. It's not clear in the version we have, the NIV we have here. He uses the word transgressions, uses the word sins, he uses the word sin. And in older versions, that's iniquity. So transgressions, sins, and iniquity. Transgressions are the things we do wrong. So don't walk on the grass. What do? Grass. It's transgression. We transgress in that sort of way. But of course, it can be greater than simply treading on grass. Things we do wrong. Sin is our general state of being. You know, if God's pass mark is 100% and that's his glory, then we all fall short of that pass mark. That we miss the mark. That's that word sin. And the word iniquity is a picture of us in all our crookedness, all our sort of guilt, all gnarled like an old tree. Spurgeon said, "This is the three-headed dog of sin barking at the gates of hell. Let me in. That's what I deserve." It's a big picture of the sinfulness and therefore the guilt in our lives. But look, the emphasis here is not on sin. It's on forgiveness. on the blessing of forgiveness. And for each word for sin here, David has a word for how sin is dealt with by God. Our sin, blessed are the one whose transgressions are forgiven. That has a sense of lifting that burden from us and setting us free. That our sin, our guilt is carried away. Whose sins are covered. That has a sense of putting our sins out of sight where they can't be seen anymore. And that's what God does for us. Whose sins not counted against him. God takes his rubber and he rubs out, he erases or deletes the sin from before him. This is amazing. And it's nothing that we do to deserve this. God alone forgives our sin. And he does so in a way that David could only dream of. By sending his son, Jesus Christ. The perfect sacrifice, who lived a perfect human life and became the perfect sacrifice for your sin and for mine. He took our sins upon himself. And as a result of that, of course, our sins are forgiven. They're covered. They're not counted against us when we put our trust in him. So here is blessing, cleansing. In one in whose spirit is no deceit. And that leads us to the next section. Because to get to the blessing, David acknowledges the burden of guilt. And what he describes here are the effects of carrying guilt around, of actually living with deceit in our heart and in our spirit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. He's speaking here of psychological distress. He's speaking of psychosomatic symptoms. This is the mental and physical effects of carrying the burden of guilt around in our hearts. The burden of guilt. David writes this word here, which is never translated as it's selah. Pause, reflect, think on these things. These are significant words, he's saying. This is the damage that guilt can do, both in our minds, in our bodies, and in our heart. But help is at hand. And that's the beauty of confession in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Did you notice the use of the three words again? He's covering all his bases here. And then that simple, but simply put, but beautiful phrase. I confessed and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Did you notice it doesn't just say, and you forgave my sin. It says, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The emotional conflict and turmoil that goes on because of the sin that's part of our lives. Everything is forgiven. The legal side of it, Mike, you're forgiven. And the emotional side, all the baggage that goes with it, is forgiven. It's covered. It's taken away. It's erased. It's deleted. It's like having a shower on a hot, sticky day. Selah. Think on this. And to close, David moves into what I've called really the business of God in verses 6 to 11. Because he says, therefore. So we've known the blessing of forgiveness. He started at the end, if you like. He's described the burden of guilt and the beauty of confession. And now the business of God. Because this follows on from being forgiven. And firstly, we find his protection. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. And surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. For some, letting go of that guilt is difficult. We hold on to the strings of guilt sometimes because It's become a way of life for us. Sometimes that guilt is what defines us as a human being. It has done from when we were abused as a child. It has done from when we were bullied at school. It has done from when someone let us down badly, you know, or has done from the things that we've done wrong. And it comes to define us and the way we think. But actually, David is saying here, look, we can be forgiven completely, and therefore then we pray to God and he protects us. Follow his protection, his instruction. This is God speaking now. If we put our trust in him, as it says in verse 10, the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him, then we receive his instruction, his counsel, his wisdom. You see, we're not like horses who don't understand and so need a bit and a bridle and to be dragged to places. You and I are capable of reading scripture. We're capable of hearing the voice of God. We're capable of following in his ways. He will instruct us. He will train us in that. And finally, in verse 11, his joy. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. This is actually a command. This is something that we can do. To all who, because we've confessed our sin, are forgiven, then we're righteous before God. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. So the lesson for us today. Some of us perhaps need to understand our guilt before God. Maybe for the first time, we are sinners and need his forgiveness. Some of us carry around a profound sense of guilt for all sorts of reasons. And we need to hear today that that can be lifted from us. All of us can know guilt cleansed. All of us can know the blessing of forgiveness from the burden of guilt by the beauty of confession and the business of God. Selah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and its relevance to us. We thank you, Lord, for the obvious truth, Lord, that we are guilty before you and sometimes before others. Lord, we come before you, therefore, Lord, as those who trust in you and ask that you would remind us of all that you've done in Christ and lift from us the burden of our guilt. Cleanse us, Lord, we pray, and help us to rejoice, Lord, in the knowledge of it. In your name we pray. Amen.